In Santa Clarita, after a long, hard day of carting your kids around from one activity to another, whether it's sports or music or scouts or dance or clubs or even practice for Children's Sunday, time and lack of energy create a hunger in our stomachs for something that comforts us, something that will make us feel better. So what is your comfort food? You know, Cornell University researchers have found that there are strong gender trends in comfort food consumption. They discovered that women tend to eat comfort food when they've experienced negative effects, whether it's loneliness or depression, guilt, or are under stress. And they tend to turn to classic comfort foods that are high in sugar and high in fat. Think chocolate, ice cream, brownies. Men, however, tend to eat comfort food in response to positive emotions. When I first read that, I thought, that's odd, but, you know, comfort food was always really special after a hard day of basketball, and I was feeling really good, and it'd be an In-N-Out burger in my future. And so men tend to like healthier foods somewhat. They're pastas and steaks and things that researchers discovered that their mothers made for them. And in contrast, one of the researchers wrote that because adult females are not generally accustomed to having food prepared for them, and they saw their mothers doing the major preparation, they are called on to do the major preparation, that they seek more simple foods that don't require as much preparation. I thought that was fascinating. They like chocolates, candy, and ice cream. Well, I've discovered then I must be a woman because it's ice cream that's my comfort food. So, kids, what is your favorite comfort food? In-N-Out Burger. All right, what else? Huh? Ribs. Wow, okay. I'm ready. Cookies, all right. What else? Cupcakes. Did you ever eat the little SpaghettiOs out of a can? Was that a comfort food for anybody? No? No. Okay. That's passé. How about adults? What are your comfort foods?
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese. Okay. Simple preparation. What else?
Pizza.
Ice cream. Pizza. Pizza. How many are pizza lovers? Come on. Yeah. You know, today's lesson is out of a block of material that's found between 1 Kings 17 and 2 Kings 10. And it focuses in on the life of Elijah the prophet and his successor, Elisha. And that body of information was probably kept in some prophetic log. And scholars believe that most of this was recorded in the mid-8th century as Israel's longest sustained history was described. And there are these marvelous little stories like this one. You've probably heard it before. Elijah and the still small voice of God. In fact, Elijah's situation was such that he was exhausted. He had already done some incredible things and he was ready for some rest. But you know, just like a child who's over exhausted, parents, you know what a temper tantrum can happen when that comes up. And how do they gain that kind of energy and they just flop wherever they are? And you can't get through to them. You need to soothe them. But we do the same thing as adults, don't we? We stomp around, we get exhausted, and then we just want to be left alone. And that was Elijah. You see, Elijah, we're told in Scripture, needed a drink. He needed a drink of water. He was in the desert. And an angel of the Lord insisted, just like a good parent would insist, take some water. A second time, the angel looked at him. It says, take some water and some nourishment. And the nourishment was comfort food. High carbohydrate bread. Now, we have a term that prisoners are served bread and water, the simplest of foods to nourish them. It's not very exciting food, but when we're exhausted, the easiest thing, the simplest thing, is the thing that we want the most. They did a study in the United States, apple pie came as one of the top comfort foods. Another one was baked potato smothered in bacon and cheddar cheese. Or how about French fries? How about mom's meatloaf? Anybody? How about mac and cheese, huh? Or double fudge brownies, or to, what was that one, Tina? Chocolate to...
Just dip a Twinkie.
They found out that the high-carb foods actually release a tryptophan, which is a tranquilizer in our bodies. So those comfort foods like Twinkies that we long for do actually do something to our systems. They calm us. They create comfort. And so this bread that the angel brings, this simple request that Elijah drink water. How many of you, as parents, have said to your kids, drink some water, drink some water. It's good to stay hydrated. But let's be honest, those are not exciting foods to look forward to. They're things that we want because we're too exhausted to think. Basically, what Elijah's facing here is the same stresses we face in the modern world. He has been doing too much. Basically, his entire career was called to confront a bad king, Ahab, and to be a critic of this most powerful man in all of Israel. He's also been used to usher in a 3-year drought upon Israel for their disobedience. Now, think about being a negative messenger. He subsisted in the wilderness like he's something out of the Discovery Channel, trying to survive alone. He's battled 450 prophets of Baal just recently in this cosmic showdown between his God and their gods. And he's enraged not only the king, but Queen Jezebel, who is the real pants of the family. And she, at the beginning of this passage, has proclaimed a 24-hour contract on his life. Kill him immediately. And so he's run to the other side of Palestine to get away from it all. We know what that's like, don't we? In short, this guy has got his goose cooked. A few years ago, I was at a homiletics conference, and a great African-American woman preacher, Anna Carter Florence, preached on this passage. And she made some interesting comments. She said, maybe just maybe, Elijah was having one of those days. You wake up, you eat breakfast, you slaughter 450 prophets of Baal, and you know, well, it's hard to be the only one left alive. It's no fun. And then she goes on to talk about the broom tree. I hadn't seen this in any other commentaries. She says, you know, when you're exhausted, it's not a nice, wonderful pine tree with grass growing that you seek out to sleep comfortably. But you drop under a broom tree. A broom tree is nothing but a scraggly brush. It's like a child having a temper tantrum in the middle of the living room. It's wherever you are. You know, when we look at this passage, I think we can all relate. At one time or another, isn't the Bible wonderful? Because at one time or another, we've all had our tantrums. We've all been exhausted. We've all felt like work was too much. There were too many calls that needed requirement, too many rides that needed chauffeured, too much going on in our lives. We also have experienced pain from the loss of friends and family. Life, in all of its chaos, can overwhelm us, can't it? And we just want to turn it off for a minute. And God says, what you need is some silence. You don't need to turn on the TV for the latest episode that you can drown yourself in, unless it's Game of Thrones, which is happening tonight. But you need to rest. And it's so important that, like your parents, kids, when they remind you, just drink a little more water, just calm down. We all need it, no matter how old we are, because we all experience stress and loss in life. And it's in these circumstances that God brings his presence to Elijah's physical situation. He doesn't rescue him. He's still lost in the wilderness. But he says, I'm here with you. The angel comes and feeds him, provides nourishment, tells him to rest, tells him twice. Isn't it interesting? Go have a nap. And then he gets up from the nap and he says, go have a second nap. Interesting. He needed a lot of rest. Solitude. He needed to let himself be reminded that God will take care of him, just like children need to know that their parents will take care of them. And God speaks to him in a quiet, still voice. He doesn't shout at him. He speaks softly. He's comforting. God seems to understand our need for that. So God is not in the dramatic, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. It's a gentle whisper, Scripture tells us. Just like when I was doing training for different children's agencies on management of assaultive behavior. It was a state-mandated program. And you want to approach a child that's in a rage in a quiet, calming voice. It doesn't help when you get louder than your children. It helps when you get quieter. It's the same way with all of us. We recognize these disciplines that in life we need to all access. And there's sometimes we need to do that just alone. There are other times when maybe aloneness is not what we need. We need touch. There's an old story, I don't even know where it comes from, but that during Queen Victoria's reign over England, she heard about the wife of a common laborer who had just lost her baby. And having experienced deep sorrow herself, she felt moved to express her sympathy with that laborer's wife. And so she called on the bereaved woman and spent some time with her. And as the Queen of England left this little shabby abode, the neighbors all gathered around her and said, "What did Queen say to you?" And she said nothing. She simply put her hands on mine, and we silently wept together. Sometimes we need to be alone. Sometimes we need a quiet hand. Elijah regained strength. Now, there was not much nutrition long-lasting in bread and water. But in the presence of God, he got up, and he went about the job that God had called him to do. What is God calling you to do? Or what is it in your life that you're running from? What makes you exhausted? What leaves you questioning? What leaves you depressed? Maybe you need to be alone with God. You see, comfort food brings security, calm, and reprieve. How much more does a comforting God bring? He meets us with his presence and in the circumstances of our life. He won't pull us aside and say, "Church is the place that I will meet you." Nope, he's going to do it on the 405 in rush hour, with screaming kids in the back seat. So I'd like you to do something for me right now. Just stop and close your eyes. Just close your eyes right where you're at and take a deep breath. Take it deep and then blow it out very slowly. After this service, our children's ministry has a bake sale, and we can eat all the comfort food we want. And maybe that'll help some of our children go to summer camp where they too can experience an encounter with God like Elijah. So this week, when you're in the clutter and you just want to crash, remember God and that still small voice, and let it nourish you. Amen.